Well, thank you for coming. I'm going to pray. Father, I just ask you that you will help me convey what I feel you've placed on my heart and what will be on our heart for going forward. So, Lord, I ask you, Holy Spirit, to just help me, that help me to be simple. I know that's easy when you look at me, Father, but Lord, help me to be simple, because it isn't about getting complicated. It's just about following your heart. And you're a God of relationship. And Father, I thank you that you say to approach you childlike. So let what I say and let our approach be childlike in that respect, Father, because we want to catch your heart, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, I started by taking a selfie with a camera, and I'm sure it wasn't quite in focus, but anyway, that's all right. But I wanted to start by saying a big thank you. So, who do I want to say a big thank you to? Well, firstly, I want to say a big thank you to Janusz and Camilla. Thank you. Dave and Jenny, thank you. Mick and Pam, thank you. And Eric and Philip will have to have a thank you later. But I want to thank you for your dedication and your faithfulness in leading your growth groups over the days, weeks and months that you did. Because you were faithful in that. And I'm sure there were some, maybe some evenings you get to and you think, oh, other evenings, yeah, but you were faithful. So I want to thank you on behalf of those that are sitting here and others for what you have done in people's lives, because I know you have touched people's lives. So I want to say thank you to that. Dave Barnes, I want to say a big thank you to you. I was going to hand out chocolates, and I thought how many people there are, and I thought I'll get Liz to make some, and then that will be me. I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your support, and I want to thank you for your help and your chauffeuring in the journey that we'll be on, and that will become a bit more evident in a while, what I mean by chauffeuring, on this journey of what our gathering is to look like outside of a Sunday. I want to say a big thank you to Andy. Andy took all my thoughts and got them onto one A4 piece of paper. Now, that is a remarkable gift, I can assure you. Yeah. So we're going to roll it out in a minute, and then you'll be able to see that. But thank you, Andy. You've been a big help. And thank you for all you for praying and supporting and for sharing your thoughts on the journey we're on. So last year, I had a growing sense that our midweek gatherings needed to evolve into something more that reflected what we were as a community church. That God actually called us to be a community of his church in the community. And evolve is a key word tonight, because what I'm about to share is not the completed package. It's not finished. We're actually at the start of a journey. And I believe it will evolve and it will grow as we walk the journey. But what is key tonight is, and anyone that's listening to this, is that if we only catch structure, then the journey will stall. Because our thinking will be, well, we've done cell groups, we've done home groups, we've done growth groups, we've done group groups. Whatever permutation of groups you want to think of, we've probably all done them at some stage in our walk. And what happens to that is, if you take that as just structure tonight, you'll think this is just another form of us meeting. Now, the problem with if what I share you only see as a meeting is that I would go as far as to say that your commitment will probably die within the first couple of weeks if you get started at all, because life is already busy. I guess we all know that. And without life getting any busier, to try and fit in another meeting just gets too much. We've got meetings everywhere. We go, our lives are all very busy. But if we can catch a vision and a heart, then that gives a different perspective to what I'm actually sharing. Because it isn't about a meeting. It's about us gathering as family, as church, together. As I've already said, this isn't the completed picture, because it is going to involve a cultural change in us, a cultural mindset, a cultural way that we approach how we gather. Living our lives as His community church is a way of life. It's not a meeting. Again, if we're seeing it only as a meeting, we will stall if we start at all, to be honest. This is a way of life. This is what we're called to be, each and every one of us. This is what we've given our lives for, in Him giving all His life for in us. And because it's a cultural change as a journey, it takes time. In fact, they say the average cultural change within a church can take 6 or 7 years. Because it gets quite ingrained. We think, oh no, I'm open to anything change, but actually there's culture within culture sometimes. And so this is why I say we're at the start of this journey, because we want it to evolve. So, over Christmas, now I can't remember exactly what it was, Jacqueline either showed me a blog, a tweet, or Facebook. Which one, I'm not sure, because I don't use any of them. And so, I think it was a tweet, wasn't it? It was Facebook, okay. And she showed me it because several of our friends had posted something by a guy called John Burke. And he's written a book which I've since bought. And I just love the title, No Perfect People Allowed. And the reason I bought it is because what they'd posted was a section from his book that really caught my heart and attention. And it says this: if people feel at ease and enjoy being together, opening up to each other early on, you'll have years of time to truly go deep in study and prayer. If your group, and he's talking about groups that meet outside of Sunday setting, if your group fails to achieve home-style laughing around the dinner table feel, your group will never become the healing, life-giving family environment God intended. Groups who do life together share a meal together, play sport together, have game nights together, and serve others in need, describe the early church community, who worshiped together and shared their meals with great joy. Now what he's described there really is the early church in Acts. And I want you to remember that, because it's important, because this is what stirred me on the journey that I've been on. And the book goes on to say this, and I'll have to go to glass mode on this, okay? It says, the scriptures command us as God's family to encourage and build up one another, instruct one another, teach and admonish one another, promote one another towards love and good deeds, serving one another in love. We teach people how to relate to each other in these ways, telling stories of the powerful abilities that they have to develop one another. When small group communities learn to be the voice of God, looking for the potential God sees in each person, encouraging the development of each other, amazing things happen. People realize they're not alone and gain new courage to try new things. That's the kind of family the whole world wants. A family that provides love and support, encouragement and prodding to develop into people God intended us to be. Just like no natural family can be perfect, no small group family and no church family will be perfect either. But as we continually lead the cultural towards the vision, towards this vision for God's intended community, people will develop and help others to develop. And just what he's been saying in this book, you can see how I've got my little post-it notes. I've been quite struck by. But it resonated in my heart about the type of setting, the type of people that I wanted us, that I felt that we were to be. And it just helped confirm core values for our gatherings in the week. So, core values. Now, when I read this out, you're going to say, well, that's nothing new, Richard. No, it's not. But actually, these will be the core values. These are what must form the basis of our gatherings together. So you'll know them all. The first is fellowship, which should be. There will be a handout, actually, if you want a handout. So just let you know. We've got to be a people that our makeup and our life is that we fellowship. It's not just a Sunday thing. It's who we are and who we're called to be. The second one is a well-known one that we've mentioned a number of times. Discipleship. It's one of our core strategies for the church, but it should also be a representation of what we are to be wherever we gather and whenever we gather. The next is worship. We were created to worship. So in whatever setting we are in and called to be in, we should be worshippers. And that's not just in song, that's in reflection, in attitude. I'm very keen and convicted that we should increasingly have a culture of honour in one another. I don't think we do that enough, actually. I think we're very good at probably recognising one another's weaknesses, but we're not always as good as having an attitude of honouring one another. Because that sometimes is what we take for granted. Well, yeah, they're always like that. Well, actually, we need to honour one another. And that is part of our act of worship. And then the final core value is community. That's what we're called to be. So all of our gathering should have these elements of fellowship, discipleship, worship, and community. So far, this journey has taken us into an extended time of coming together to pray on a Wednesday. It's led to discussions for me with other church leaders and researching and looking into different styles and methods about how churches, what they do in their settings. Because we want what God has for us here, but neither do we want to reinvent the wheel if what God is saying fits with us. So, Dave and Wendy, I'm glad you've only got two daughters, because if you had six, we'd have been all over the place still. So, because the first daughter, Naomi, of theirs, goes to Kim McCaffrey. Now, many of us will know Kim McCaffrey. He's been here before. And Naomi goes to his church in Leamington Spa. And Dave and Wendy were sharing with me, I guess that was via Naomi, about how they gather outside of a Sunday. And I was really stirred by what they were saying. It just caught hold of me. I thought, I like the sense and the feel of that. So I phoned Kim up and had a long chat with him. And he just explained how they were doing this, how they were gathering. And I left it because we were still praying. But I just had this gathering sense and growing in me that I knew this was, in some format, the way forward for us. But I still wanted to hear what God had to say. Now, I have to say at this point, I've not taken Kim word for word. But what I mean by that is, I'm not taking him everything he said of how he gathers his people. Because they're on a journey and they've got to the point where they are at. We're in a different place on the journey for us. So we're rather, what I'm starting with, I felt that, almost God say, take his outline, take it like a wineskin, and let him fill and shape it for RCC. And that's important because we're talking about people. We're not talking about literal wine that's similar. We're talking about makeups of churches that are different in people. So it will look different slightly. The outline and the wine skin might well look the same to some degree in structure, but the makeup will be slightly different because the makeup of people are different. So, Dave and Wendy have another daughter called Abby. Now she goes to Frontline Church in Liverpool. And that's a church led by Dave Connolly and Nick Hardine. And it's a huge church. It has a massive impact on the whole city of Liverpool. And Dave kindly arranged for me to go up with him to meet Dave Connolly, who I was quite surprised to start with that he'd want to meet little pleb me, really, because he's a busy guy. You know, he goes all over the world speaking. But his heart is just to be and talk and encourage other pastors. So Dave drove me up in Wendy's little Beetle. We didn't have the flower. I wanted the flower in the front. We were going anyway. I said, "Psych one." We went up, and he gave us a whole afternoon in his office, which was Liverpool Cathedral Restaurant. That was his. That was his, because he meets so many people that he finds it easier to meet them there. But he just spent sharing about what they were doing, and they just have a growing network of missional communities. So they're larger group settings who are in the community. They meet literally in a community, whether that's in a pub or whatever, and that give their church members a place of belonging, but they also reach, and their heart is to reach every man, woman, and child within Liverpool. And they've got a massive, I know we've got friends from one of our old churches in that church, they've got a massive youth work, but it's not just that, it's the way they've reached into the community is really, you know, it opens your eyes. And I just sense when we were talking to him and then coming back that a lot of what he shared, I could see developing in our journey, but further down the road. You know, it's not something you can just start and do what they're doing, because they've been on their, again, like Kim, they've been on their own journey. But we're going to go, Dave says he'll happily meet with us again, so we're going to go up again and spend some time, which I think is a real privilege, really, to spend time with a guy like that, because his heart is just for other people and other pastors. So what I've shared up until now, what I've said, what I've read out, what I've said about us having a heart, the values, the way that John Burt was describing that early Acts-type church community, they're important. They're the foundation. What I share next is some way secondary, because if we don't catch the vision and the heart, the values, the foundation, we'll just redo growth group in a different way. We'll just redo growth group cell in a different way. And that's not what this is about. So I ask you, listen to this again. This handout won't describe everything, but allow God to speak to you in the days and weeks to come, that he wants to change, I believe, the culture of our church. And that could be a two-minute job for God, but actually it involves us, so it takes a bit longer, because he's got to change how we think. And we think, oh, we're getting there, and we default. We all do it. It's not. So be open to change. So what does our, as it were, wineskin for gathering outside of a Sunday look like? Well, it involves two different styles of group. And this is what I really picked up from Kim. This is what I really, really excited me. The first, I'm going to call fellowship groups. So what is and what will a fellowship group do? Well, there's a bit of a clue in the title, but I will tell you a bit more. Firstly, These groups will be chosen and formed by the church family. What do I mean by that? In the past, elders have sat for many an hour putting people with other people in this massive game of chess that we call getting it right. Which then a number of people say, you don't get it right because I wanted to be over this. So what we really felt with this is, and I'll come back to this, you're going to form your own groups. And I'll come back to how you're going to do that in a while. Secondly, these groups are designed to be small groups of between 6 and 8 people. There's going to be no more than 8 people in this group. And the reason for that is, the reason we want to keep them small is because we want them to be fellowshipping groups. And with a smaller number, there's more ownership, there's more accountability, but there's an enablement to you to build deeper relationships. Which is quite hard if there's 15 of you in a room 1 week and 3 of you in a room another week. But actually, if it's 8 of you, if one of you is not there and they're thinking, oh, what's up? What's the matter? You know, why aren't they? That could be a genuine, legit reason. But it's looking out for one another. It's building that deeper relationship. And out of that, there'll be one person or couple who will act as the group coordinator. They're the ones that will do the organizing of when and how you will meet. And this is the other thing. They can gather whenever and wherever they like within that week, as long as it's between the Sunday and the Saturday. You're not stuck to one night. You gather between that Saturday and that the Sunday and the Saturday, whenever it's those within that group. Now, these groups will aim to share real life, have fun. You know, you could have me standing here saying, you will have fun. You know, this is where it gets a bit, actually, I'm just giving you, that's why I'm giving you the wineskin. You know, you will build trust and you will develop deep Christ-centered relationship. That takes time. And actually, for some, it will take longer than others because they will say, well, when's the meeting start? There is no meeting. You are fellowshipping as family together. You're doing what the early church in Acts did all the time. So, how does this outwork? Well, it outworks in two ways. In week one, you will worship and pray together. So what does that mean? Well, it's an evening spent worshiping God, praying for such things as blessing one another, circumstances, wider family, friends, neighbors. And as the journey develops, hopefully they will start praying more outward, more the things around, as well as the things within the group. But it's going to be a real ideal setting for sharing testimony, sharing stories with one another about what God is doing within your life. Because that will upbuild, uplift, encourage. And actually, there'll be an expectancy that comes. Well, what's God doing in your life for this week? Now, I'll be going into detail with the actual setup of that when we know who the coordinators are meeting with them. Then, on the third week, the fellowship group will meet again. But it'll have one sole aim in this third week. Eat. Yeah? Week two and week four will come in a minute, yeah? Don't worry. Yeah. There's not a malfunction. Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I was just testing. I got this cheap diary for Christmas. No, I'm only joking. So, your meal together could take place anywhere. Again, it can happen between the Sunday and the Saturday. It's not a set night to have a meeting to have a meal. That's not what it's about. you are fellowshipping together. So you could do that at home, down the pub, in a caff. You can bring and share, take away, have a barbecue or picnic on the chase. Some may not want to do that in December, but, you know, see what the rest think about that. But the point is that actually you are demonstrating and building something by having food together. It's what the early church did. And, you know, the one thing we all have to do is eat. So why don't we sometimes eat together at a time that's convenient? And I suspect we'd get more out of in conversation than if we held a meeting for 3 hours around a circle. And, you know, as you get established as a group, as you grow, not literally as you grow, you know, as you grow together, it will be a great opportunity to invite your friends and your neighbours on occasions to come in and have a meal with you. And then they'll get to know you and your friends. But its purpose is to fellowship. It's not to have a meal and then have a Bible study, have a meal and have a prayer time, have a meal and then have worship. You have a meal. That's all you do. But actually, I suspect that you will come out and say what God actually does when you're sitting around that table. We had a meal the other night with some friends. And actually, we got a lot done having around that meal, around that table together. But it didn't feel like a meeting. It was fellowshipping together. And when people come together to eat, they enjoy it. This is one of the early Chinese fellowship groups. So. Right. So, what about week 2 and week 4? You've already said to me. Well, in week 2 and week 4, there will be a different style group, which we will all be part of as well. And these are called kingdom groups. These are much larger than fellowship groups. And they will help us not only to get to know others within the church, so we're not in our little cluster every week of just 8 of us. It actually will help as the church grows. They'll be larger, but it helps to get to know others in a group. But these are groups that will look at equipping us and equipping the body to advance his kingdom and to bring his kingdom into the communities that we live. They will gather mainly, though there is one I will say a little bit later. They mainly gather on a Monday to Thursday evening. And that will be on weeks 2 and 4. Don't worry, we'll have a big 8-foot, 9-foot chart with all this on. No, I'm only joking. Now, some of these kingdom groups will run long term, and some will only form for a season, and some may only last a few weeks. The church family, that's you, can join more than one kingdom group if they don't clash. The idea is, I'm not trying to fill your weeks up. I'm trying to keep it to once a week. But if you so wish to go another night, that's entirely up to you. And members of long-term groups, which will become clear in a minute, can move to join short-term groups if of a particular interest for a time. So these groups will include a variety of kingdom activities. So the present worship group will move into these weeks 2 and 4. The prayer pastoral group that have been meeting fortnightly, they will move into that fortnightly pattern. But it'll also be an opportunity for having teaching groups. You know, that we can look at things from Christian life that we don't always get an opportunity to do because of time constraints on a Sunday. So we could maybe look at things like, does the Bible support reincarnation? What happens when a Christian commits suicide? Because it happens. We had a friend in London. Should Christians celebrate Halloween? Is living together before marriage a good idea? Once saved, always saved? Perhaps we could do topics around drugs, alcohol, politics, deception in the news, and so forth. And it's not just about the same old people leading these groups. Someone might come to me and say, I really feel I want to talk on a kingdom life aspect for this for a couple of weeks. But these topics are not just about equipping us to know what God says about whatever it is we're looking at, but it's to help us answer the type of questions that community are going to ask us increasingly. What does your God say about this? What do you think about this? But kingdom groups can also involve series like just walk across the room and stand still. It gives us an opportunity to run the marriage course, positive parenting. Even somebody wants to do a connecting seniors group. Now, that could even run in the daytime. Now, it doesn't mean that all of these are going to be running all at the same time. Obviously, the worship group and prayer pastor group, they will meet. They tend to meet worship on a Monday, pastoral on a Thursday. But there could be some people just walk across the room on a Tuesday, and some other people are doing positive parenting on a Wednesday. It doesn't mean all four nights will be full up. It just gives us that flexibility to bring in some of these other things that, you know, we struggle to, in our past structure, to fit in things like marriage course. And they're important. They're important not just for the body, but actually, those are sort of things that we can invite our community to. Positive parenting is another thing. It's not just for church. That can be the community involvement. Connecting seniors isn't just our more mature members. I'm wording it very clearly as I've got two of them looking at me. But, you know, it's involving community as well. It could be an afternoon club once every now and then on a kingdom week. And even as the journey develops, perhaps some kingdom groups will start to meet for a while and begin to do missional things into the community, like hobbies. You know, I've always wanted a knitting group that I could join. You see? But yeah, we've got knitters here, haven't we? I mean, you know, we've got people who've got interests. It's about us being in the community. Now, I can't say go and do that, because that won't happen. You know, you'll go and do it once, or you'll go, we won't see you again. You'll be lost up the Himalayas somewhere on a hobby. We have to catch the culture of why we're doing it. I mean, it isn't underhand, it's not that, but we take Christ wherever we go. And it's about having that cultural attitude of wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we're actually advancing his kingdom. Whether that's within our fellowship group or whether it's within our kingdom week groups. So, to recap. Fellowship groups will meet week 1 and week 2. Kingdom groups will meet... No, one... Oh, I've seen... Look, I've done that wrong already. Look, see, that's me. Look at that. Now, I did that on purpose. See? I thought I'd leave that one in there. So, week 1 and week 3, the fellowship groups will meet. And week 2 and 4... the kingdom groups will meet. See, I'm glad you see that. You definitely listened to what I've said, because you picked that up before I'd even seen it. Sir. But there are two style of groups that we will all be involved in. Okay, so what happens next? That's about the best I could get that, so sorry about that. This is a slip of paper. We're going to start this journey slow and soft, because what I don't want us to be doing is, oh yeah, Richard said that last week, next Wednesday, let's start. Because I know, well, we're default. Before you know it, we're just doing growth group. Suddenly, the meal has become a meal with a Bible study and a bit of worship and of it. So we're going to start these slowly, but we're going to take it a step at a time. So the first thing we're going to do is form our groups. And as I said, you're going to form your groups. So how are you going to do, and this is a bit of a I was going to say risk, but it's not a risk, it's a step of faith. It's not a risk at all, it's a step of faith, because I trust you all. So what you're going to do over the next 3 weeks is that you're going to form your groups. Now, for some of you, that will be easier than others. That's fine. All it means doing is approaching people and say, look, do you fancy being in a group with me? Now, for some, that might be a bit difficult. So if you can't find 7 or 5 others that you feel that you can get together, then you just let me know and I shall prayerfully put you somewhere. But the point is, start by just praying, you know. Who are your friends within the church? Who maybe don't know so well that you'd like to get to know better? So just have a think and then start forming. So there'll be these sheets, lots of little sheets. What I don't want is 30 sheets in with one name on each, because that isn't going to help at all, really. It's about you forming your group together. So there's going to be sheets on there, and you've all got a head start on the rest on a Sunday. So, you know, when they come to you and say, oh, can I be in yours? You say, well, if you'd been there on the Wednesday, you know, you could have been in my, but there. So you are the chosen one. So there will be a list of there, but I'll say the two things. Don't worry and don't be concerned if you don't feel, well, I don't know 6 or 7. Just give it time, and if you don't, then come back. It's not failing or anything like that. We will put you with someone so that you will be with someone. Now, the second point is, some of our more mature members find it hard to get out in the evening, you know, because of the weather and the dark, and that's understandable. So, I think I've got the completed list of what I call mature members of the church. If I've missed you off, I'm sure you won't be too disappointed. But and what we will do is, each fellowship group, I mean, there might not be enough of them, but they will adopt a mature member. So what does that mean? Well, they'll look out for them. But also, because of the way your fellowship group meets, they can be involved, because you're not always going to meet in the evening, are you? No, that's right. Yeah, because when you're having a meal, you might decide, hey, let's get together Saturday lunchtime. Let's go after church on a Sunday and have something to eat together. Well, then that's when you can take your adopted person with you. And I didn't want to really use the word adopted, because actually I want them to be part of that. But practically sometimes that isn't possible if it's an evening. But it is possible if you're not meeting in an evening, which you don't have to do always, particularly on a meal week. I'm sure they'll never fail in turning up on a meal week if you remember to ask them and tell them when it is. So you're going to have 3 weeks to sort this out, and 3 weeks also come and tell me if you're not in a group. And then, not only do you have to put who you're going to be, you've got to decide who's going to coordinate this. Who's going to coordinate when you meet, where you meet, how you're going to do that. Not necessarily lead the worship and the prayer, because they don't have to, but it needs to have somebody who knows the structure. So that's why I want to meet with you. So you just need to put down who is the coordinator, or who are going to be the two coordinators on that. So the kingdom groups will start with just the worship group and the prayer pastoral group, because they're already established. And they're going to meet fortnightly. Then the other group activities that will happen on the Kingdom Week will be introduced. So, let's see if I've got my timeline right, because I didn't get me ones and twos right. So, from now until Wednesday the 26th is the time to form your fellowship groups. In between that, next Wednesday and the Wednesday after, we're still coming together to pray. On the 25th, that's 3 Wednesdays from now, we've got a church family meeting. Then on Wednesday the 2nd and the 9th, I'm going to meet with the new fellowship coordinators because I want them to catch the heart and the vision and the values. I don't want to reproduce growth groups again. That's not what we're trying to do. So you'll understand that. What have I put the wrong date? Oh, yeah, it is. Sorry, that's another. See, I wondered if you'd recognise that one. Yeah, it is. Is that one back there? Yeah, it is, a Tuesday. Yeah, it is. You're right. Sorry about that. Well, I'm glad you're noticing these things. So, on Tuesday the 25th, we're going to have a church family meeting. And then 2nd and the 9th, I'm going to be with coordinators. The 16th and 23rd, there's nothing on. It's Easter. And, yeah, we're not meeting. Part of our cultural change as leaders is, I think sometimes we think meeting too much. And it isn't about doing nothing, it's about being life. And we need to learn how to do life, not meetings. So we're not meeting on that. And then... I missed that one off. On the 27th, so that's from the Sunday, that's when the new fellowship groups will start. That will be week one, Dave. Well done. Yes. That will be that. So yeah, that will be week one. I'm not going to commit myself to anything more than that. That will be week one. Does anyone have any questions? Okay, can you put your hand up? Well, I have to put the, in case you're going to have to record it. So. Will you be my mic guy, Dave? Yes. Thank you.
Hello? Are you hearing me? No, he's just picking up what Dave just noticed, that the first week, so that's week one, would be the 27th of April. And in my mind, I'd seen, like, the months. So week one would be the first week of the month.
Yes.
And I just wondered if that might, if you start then, kind of have a bit of confusion. If you start on the next next Wednesday, which would be May, if you could delay it a week, then you'd run, and that would work itself out. People would be able to like work out which is week three by just simply looking at the
diary. Unless you get a 5-week month and it
I don't know what to do with by a fifth week.
Extra meal, you get a bonus meal that month. So yes, I'll come back to that one. I'll have a look and come back to that one. But yes, I will have a look at how that develops. It will be in the month at a glance. So it will say fellowship week one, worship prayer, or it will say kingdom week. Or it will say fellowship meal week. So,
and will that just?
We'll tweet. That's it, Andy. We shall blog, and we shall tweet, and we shall Facebook, and do whatever else we need. Whatever. But yes, that will be whenever we start. That will be the easiest thing, that you just look at your month at a glance. So if you haven't been, I'll encourage you to do. So, anyone there? Anyone else want to ask anything? Do you understand as far as I've shared it? Does that make sense? Oh. And you are, because you've even corrected my deliberate mistakes that I've put in. Yes, Andy. He deliberately did that day because he knows he's got the furthest.
Can I just clarify about the sort of adopting a mature person?
Yes.
Are you suggesting that you're sort of splitting them all up so they're like one per group? I mean,
no, they don't go anywhere at the moment. Not that they don't go, but you don't, in the evenings, not many of them are members of growth groups that were. I mean, you have the Monday prayer group, but other than that, they're not in any. I mean, one or two were like John and Pam, but there's some that are not in anything. You think somebody like Rose Crosby, she can't even get out now in any, and they wouldn't want to come out in any. So it is about just the group being mindful of them, that's their person they'll be mindful of, and looking out, really. Because at the moment, unless it's done by her, by other friends, or me, or whoever, they can sometimes go under the radar, and that's why I think we need to honour them and include them in some way. And I feel with this, they can be included, because we all like food. And, you know, it doesn't have to. That's part of the mentality we've got to get out of, thinking, oh, which night shall we meet on? You don't have to meet on a night on your fellowship weeks, you know. Saturday tea time. If you're going to eat, why don't you eat together? Because then that's your gathering and it's things. So, yeah, that's why they will, you know, I want to place one of them or them within so that they are. I mean, if they say, I want to be part of that, then that's fine. Yeah. You know, I want to be part of that. That's great. That's fine.
But we don't need to include them in the 6 to 8.
You can do if you want to, if you feel that's what you want to do.
But we are allowed 9. If
no.
Okay.
Well,
so they are included.
Yeah, I mean, if they're going to be part of that, then I would have it as, yeah.
Okay.
They'll be added in on top of it otherwise. Yeah.
How do we stand with the Monday group? Can we still meet as
Yeah, because that you're praying, Rosalie, so that's fine. You're a prayer group, as well as the ladies on a Wednesday. That's not it's not affecting that, because it didn't affect it before. So
no, it didn't.
No, so that's fine.
Only we get such a lot of requests. Like,
I know you do. Yeah, yeah.
We were snowed under not this Monday, but the Monday before.
Yeah. No, you're still, and the Wednesday is still.
Oh, praise God.
That's fine. Sorry, Dave, you're going to be here.
Can I go to the other end? What are you doing with the youngsters?
The youngsters, they are the youth group.
Youth?
Yeah.
Would they be part of this? Or
well,
they
I think the point. I think the thing about when you have your fellowship group with a meal, if you part of your makeup is you have children, you include children, because it's family, and that's what we're trying to be, family. It's because otherwise all we do is say no children, let's have a meeting and a meal, and that's what I don't want. So if you've got young ones, that's another reason why then both of you can be at that. Because you're young ones. And it isn't about looking to go to expensive places to eat. You know, we can all bring and share or do something like that. It's not. But yeah, if you've got young ones, then why not include them? Because they're part of you. They're part of your family. So. Well, yeah, I think it's an ideal opportunity for you both to be there at a meal one where... On the worship and prayer, that's going to be more difficult because it just is, isn't it? So it's and you can take it into turns or babysitters. You know, the good thing is not every group is meeting on every night. So maybe those in other groups who are conscious of those that have got children say, "Well, I don't mind babysitting for you this week because you're not on the same night as me," But definitely on the meal weeks, it's an opportunity where we haven't had for them, both parents to be out. So let's commit this to prayer. Because I say, this isn't the finished package. In a year's time, this might look a lot different. It might look similar, but we've changed a lot. So I don't want you to see this as this is how it's finished, because we've got to learn and grow with this, and open to change in that. So let's pray. Father, I don't want us to be about a good idea. We want to be about your purposes. And Lord, we want to reflect being your community church. Father, I don't see the early church as having meetings. I see them as living life, Lord. And Lord, it isn't about us spending 24/7 with each other, but it is about us actually living life together, Father. You've called us. You own us, Lord. You've put us together. And I pray, Father, that as we walk this journey with you, we increasingly will grow in fellowship with one another. Lord, and out of that, Father, we will touch and have a greater impact in the community we live, in the work place that we are, within the streets that we live. That, Father, that people will see that these Christians actually have fun together. That, Lord, when they come together, it is like that home style round the dining table, laughing and having fun together, Lord. But it is also that element of sharing life together. And Lord, I pray that we increasingly have testimonies that will speak of what you do, not only with each one of us, but in our relationships with one another and within the relationships of those that live within our community. And Lord, will you just lead us in this? Lord, it feels to me still very raw, and I say, how's it going to work with us just saying you form your group? But Lord, help us and teach us even in that, Father. Lord, that we will reach out to one another, because Lord, if we're doing that with one another, we're more likely to reach out to those around us. Lord, all of me, myself, I's go out the window when we put others first, Father. So, Lord, we commit this to you. We say, Lord, still show us and change as we lead into this. But, Lord, may we catch what your heart is. That is the key, Father. What your heart is for your church, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, you have your slips. Yeah. There are two types of sheets. One is done in Word, so it's slightly bigger, and one is PDF, and the writing's slightly smaller. So it's whether you want it two side or one side, but that will explain a good amount of what I've said, except for the heart probably bit and the value bit at the beginning. But so they're there for you to take. And you can start even now taking your slips if you're thinking, I know some people I want to form with. So they're there. So, amen. Thank you.